30 million workers have lost their jobs or either significant hours of work. Nearly every state has had a drop in revenue and tax revenue that's going to threaten social programs and jobs. There's no mystery about it. The reason the pandemic hit so hard, the reason it exposed racism and poverty, because the country was already hit hard before the pandemic. Before the pandemic, 750 people died every day from poverty. A quarter million people. 250 million people died every year from poverty before the pandemic, and then the pandemic hit. Before the pandemic, 80 million people in this country were either uninsured or underinsured. And since the pandemic, the first bill that was passed in Congress, 84% of the money went to corporations and banks. We didn't have the kind of rent freeze we needed. They gave people a moratorium on the rent, but this is what it said. We're going to give you 3 months you don't have to pay, but in the fourth month, you got to pay all 4 months. There was no moratorium on utilities that didn't come with a penalty. You know what you went through right here in this city with the water freeze. And so people got penalized. People are having all kinds of credit problems now. But the corporations, on one occasion, got over $1 trillion that didn't even come through Congress. Didn't even come through Congress. And so here we are. Here we are. And a study came out just the other day, my sisters and brothers, that said where we are in America right now is only 39% of Americans can afford a $1,000 emergency. 61% of Americans, if they have a $1,000 emergency, it will put them in economic ruin. And if America does not address what's happening with a visionary, long-term, enduring social and economic policy, the very health of the entire nation is at stake. We could end up with 50% of the people poor and low wealth. And that's why poor and low-income people and their allies, we must change the narrative. We must put a face on these realities. We must be a power, and we must register votes. It's a lie that we have a scarcity of money. We don't have a scarcity of money. We don't even have a scarcity of ideas of how to fix it. What this nation has is a scarcity of will and a scarcity of conscience, and we are the ones that must change that. We must show America herself, and we must have a movement of the people to change the consciousness of the nation that will say without ever quitting that if the policymakers don't change course from one-shot policy activism, we're going to face more and more economic peril. We need a long-term economic policy that addresses all five interlocking injustices, that establishes justice and rejects decades of austerity and builds strong social programs and makes sure that we promote the general welfare. We've got to have this movement, y'all. We cannot be still or quiet. We have to speak out. There's a great scripture in Isaiah 58. It says, cry loud and spare not. There comes a time that nobody else can say what needs to be said on your behalf but you. And that's why we're announcing this virtual mass poor people's low-wage workers assembly Moral March on Washington virtually again this year. And then for 365 days, we're going to mobilize every truck, every car, every bus, everybody that we can to the nation's capital. And when we get there, we promise you, it will not be people speaking on behalf of poor and low-wealth people. But just like you saw today, it will be poor and low-wealth people speaking on their own behalf, telling their own story, saying what the policies what must be, and then letting folk know this other thing, that God has fixed it so that now one-third of America's voting population is poor and low wealth. One-third. That's 65 million people. 65 million people. And if we change the narrative and build power, If we have a mobilizing movement and an organizing movement and a sacrificing movement and a state-based strategizing movement and an agenda-pushing movement and a moral-focusing movement and a voting movement, and we may have a protest movement and we may have a civil disobedience movement, because we can't take this anymore. You can't just ignore 140 million people anymore. Poor and low-wealth voters represent 30% of the voting population, 65 million people. And let me tell you this, and I'm through. In 15 states right now, if poor and low-wealth people organize, between 1 and 22%, that's all, not 30%, 1% in North Carolina, 4% in Florida, it's about 16-18% here in Mississippi, that if 1 to 22% of poor and low-wealth people organize around an agenda, not around a candidate, but around an agenda, and then check which candidate is closest to the agenda, that poor and low-wealth people, hear me now, poor and low-wealth people could determine the margin of election in for Senate, for the presidency, and even for state houses in Michigan, Pennsylvania, Wisconsin, New Hampshire, Arizona, Minnesota, Maine, Florida, New Mexico, North Carolina, Nevada, Georgia, Texas, Mississippi, and Ohio. And I think it's time that poor and low-income people flex their power. I think it's time that we say we won't be silent anymore. I think it's time we say somebody's been hurting our brothers and sisters too much, and we won't be silent anymore. I think it's time that we say we've not had health care too long, and we won't be silent anymore. We've been without living wages too long, and we won't be silent anymore. We've been blocked from the right to vote too long, and we won't be silent anymore. And that's why we wanted to come to the hollow state of Mississippi, deep down in the South, to say that the mass poor people's assembly and low-wage workers' assembly and moral march on Washington will rise. Will rise from here and all over this country. Virtually this June and in person in June of 2022, because we will not slip into the darkness silently. This nation has to change. This nation will change. And for us, it doesn't matter if you're Democrat, Republican, or independent. If poor and low-wealth people's issues are not on your agenda, then you are failing in your office to do what you promised to do. You know, as I close, freedom is not in the Constitution. You ever notice that? Freedom is not in our Constitution, but justice is. And there's a reason why. If you establish justice, you got to have freedom. You can't have people in the bondage of poverty and have justice. You can't have people in the bondage of sickness and have justice. You can't have people in the bondage of voter suppression and have justice. So if you establish justice, and my brothers, that's what we mean when we say the healing of the nation. Even our Constitution says it like this. You must first establish justice in order to get to domestic tranquility. It doesn't say we come together, more perfect union, to ensure domestic tranquility. Uh-uh. It says to ensure the establishment of justice, then ensure domestic tranquility. And then you hold on to tranquility by fighting for the common defense, promoting the general welfare, and then later on in the 14th Amendment, you provide equal protection under the law. Now, can I tell y'all what that means? No justice, no peace. That's all it means. No justice, no peace. Forward together. No justice. This nation must address the issues facing poor and low-wealth people. And we must do it now. Poverty, systemic racism in all of its forms, ecological devastation that hurts poor communities, denial of health care, the war economy, militarization of our communities, the lies of religious nationalism. We must address it now. Somebody's been hurting our brothers and our sisters. Fire!